And welcome
to Gravel Talk, ladies and gents. Thank you for joining us.
Well, this week in the Spotlight and Squared Circle, we are sitting down with
Greg Gagne, the son of Vern Gagne.
We're sitting down with Larry the Axe Henning.
We're sitting down in the Spotlight and Squared Circle with Ryan Owen,
Darren Corbin,
Zach Gowen.
We're sitting down with Dick Justice.
You're listening to Gravel Talk, keeping you up to date on Midwestern independent wrestling.
And we are live!
Well, welcome, ladies and gents, to another episode, another edition of The Grapple Talk. Your host, Nick Ragner, joined with Jesse Von Raspberry.
Hey, man, how's it going, Nick?
It's going pretty good, man. A couple of days off, but we're right back at it in the studio. We had an episode that dropped this past weekend. Lots of fun sitting down with Ryan Brown, talking about things post-River City Championship Wrestling show last Friday. Had some beers, had some pizza, and overall, I thought it was a pretty good time. We didn't really have any topics. We just kind of shot about wrestling for like an hour and a half, talked about our top fives and everything. So if you haven't listened to that one yet, it's one of those good listens where, you know, on Saturday morning, me and Zari were out garage sale shopping all day.
Mm-hmm.
But it was kind of nice. It's one of those episodes where you can kind of put it in the background in the car and just kind of enjoy listening to it. You know, it's not like necessarily there was anything really hard hitting, you know.
No,
what I mean?
Not at all. There was no hot takes.
It was real laid back. Yeah. And I thought it was pretty enjoyable.
It was a really good time catching up with Brown. It's gonna be one of those things where we're not gonna see him a lot this summer. He ended up picking up a different job, and it's a great job for him, and it's good for him to get out from wrestling and
definitely
just do something different. And really happy for the guy, really proud as well. And it's just kind of nice to catch up with an old friend who, since like day one, we've been doing this stuff. You know, as someone who we value the opinion of as
definitely.
Well.
I mean, like, there was a good stretch of time where when Brown lived in La Crosse, I mean, me and him would go on the road trips to shows quite often. We went to First together quite a few times, too, and he almost killed us, I think, every single time we hit the road. But
I won't miss that part.
We're still here, so that's good at least. And, you know, like you kind of mentioned, a really good friend. I consider Brown probably one of my closest friends, honestly. Just when he comes to town, I enjoy his company so much. And, you know, whether it's him not staying the night, if he comes to La Crosse, maybe, you know, his girlfriend is with him or whatever it is. We don't normally have a lot of a chance to sit down and talk. I mean, what you guys heard in that podcast, if you listen to it, was a very small snippet. And I think we probably talked for like 4 hours after that show,
it seemed give
like.
Or take. You know, it was a very long night. And it ended up being a very, like, weird early morning, too. Because, like, you know, Ryan was telling us about his stomach issues he had earlier
in the week. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So I'm finishing up in the restroom because, like, I had to wake up early, get to the station, pick up equipment, all that stuff.
Yep.
And I'm finishing up, and Brian's like, "Hey, man, are you almost done in there? Because I really gotta take a shit." I'm like, "Yeah, Ryan, just give me like a couple seconds here, dude. It's no biggie." And I'm like, "Jesus fuck, you know?"
Yeah.
So
he
literally
tore that thing up.
He tore it up. He tore it up twice that day.
Twice. Wow.
Yeah, and he was there for an extra maybe hour.
Wow.
So I can only imagine how many times he stopped between here and Wisconsin Dells where he was going to go watch that football game. So
that's right. He posted on social media that he was watching Johnny Smash, so hopefully that all went well for him. But again, you know, a lot of fun. So if you haven't had a chance to listen to that podcast yet, it's not very time sensitive. Like I mentioned, we kind of just sat there and talked about like all-time greats and things like that. So it was a good wrestling conversation and just kind of a good time for, you know, again, to enjoyed that camaraderie of the old crew, because we always used to go to the shows together, and now we mostly meet at them and
have to work them and not really kind of hang out.
Yeah,
you know, except for like maybe the food afterwards,
right.
And you know, and then it's like, hey guys,
even sometimes
have, like,
that doesn't even
hours.
Happen. Yeah, because mostly we're driving across the state, but a lot of fun at RCCW, and you know, to kick off this show, first we should probably mention Facebook.com/TheGrappleTalk and Twitter @TheGrappleTalk, place to go for our upcoming shows. One of our most popular features for people that want to know what's going on in the weekend. But I wanted to touch on River City Championship Wrestling because, you know, we kind of talked about it a little bit in that last podcast, but I think since we talked about it so much before we started recording, we didn't really highlight it very much. But man, they had another great show this past Friday, and I feel like they're doing some really good things in the La Crosse area. Maybe not the draw that you would hope that they would have had for a show like this following their last one, but still, just top to bottom, the card I think was really good. Great locker room at this point, and you know, especially, you know, the debut of a guy like Sean Priest. It's really exciting to see all these talents being pulled together from different areas of the state and kind of, you know, working in what I consider a great promotion.
Yeah, it's one of those things where that you can pull in a guy who's got some buzz on the other side of the state, and he makes an immediate impact.
Right.
And it's one that's felt by that crowd. And that crowd right now is eating up almost everything
right.
that River City Championship Wrestling is producing. I know it's we always kind of like talk about like the gate and how big or small it was. You know, it was lighter, but still, though, it's like the constant basis of having like 100-plus every show. And if you want to make excuses for this one with the draw being low, let's think about it. Cinco de Mayo.
Right.
Very nice Friday.
Yes, it was.
Last Friday before everyone leaves.
Yep.
UWL,
yep.
Turbo, all that jazz.
Right.
And there was like something else going on, too. I can't remember what it was. Something that lacrosse. But it was
it's
one
like
of those.
Wienerfest going
Wienerfest
on?
Wienerfest was like the next day and stuff like that. So there's so much stuff going on that you still had that many people packed in.
Right.
There. And it's great because it's without those people that these guys can't do these shows. They can't keep the continuous success and all that stuff. And it's one of those things where, you know, we got the hot tip that, like, next year, expect bigger things with River City Championship Wrestling. Hot rumor is monthly. Hot rumor is they're moving their date again, you know, so it's not going to be conflicting with, like, dates in Oshkosh or Milwaukee or something like that. So they can actually really maximize a lot of the talent in the state. If you're looking for a good time, like a good wrestling show on the western side of the state, River City Championship Wrestling is going places that a lot of people wish they were going.
And here's the great thing. You know, I know a lot of our listeners are workers and everything like that. And, you know, I don't know if I'm pulling back the curtain a little bit too much
this whole thing is like a pull back the curtain.
But the great part about what RCCW is doing is that they're also so invested in storylines. And a guy like Sean Priest, who rode down with Onyx and Onyx Andretti and I'm forgetting his name.
Aesop Mitchell,
of course, yes. Aesop. He rode down with them because, you know, they're part of the BCW Training Academy, Thumper's Den. And all of a sudden, he gets pulled aside, asks if he wants to, you know, put on his gear for the night. Now he's involved in a storyline angle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and this guy wasn't even planning, you know, he was just planning on riding up and watching his buds in the ring. So, you know, again, if you're a worker and, you know, maybe you're looking for some work or you want some more experience, go to RCCW when you have nothing going on a Friday, regardless of the drive. And there's like a 50-50 chance that you might not only get booked, but you'll get booked in a storyline that'll have you booked for months to come. I mean, that's kind of how it is there. And it's not a bad thing. It's a great thing because they always like including that new talent, and they always like working out these storylines and you know, getting the people there excited because, you know, RCCW, what they're doing, I think, is kind of what we talked with Eddie about at one point about Legacy, is they're kind of becoming like this nice melting pot of a company where guys from Milwaukee and Oshkosh, and then you have guys from Iowa and Minnesota, like all coming together to work on this one promotion because it's kind of right in the middle of everything, and it's been pretty good so far.
Yeah, definitely. The sky's the limit for these guys, and they're going to have a really busy like stretch here in this early part of summer. You know, they're coming back June 2nd at the American Legion, June 10th. They got something really interesting here. Could be at Gunners. Now,
yeah.
if you're used to hearing the name Gunners, you think, oh, that's Nick and Jesse, that's a strip club. Yeah, they're running a show, part of like Gunner Fest at the strip club. So that one's going to be really interesting on June 10th. And then they go from the strip club to the strip over at Riverfest. This is the biggest show for these guys coming up on June 2nd. It's a Sunday. It's an afternoon show down at Riverside Park in La Crosse. It's free with an admission to like Riverfest, so you get your butt and all that jazz. But that show right there, like July 2nd, pardon me. I don't know why I said June 2nd, but you know, July 2nd.
Yes.
That is one that could really open up a lot of eyes for a lot of people here in the community of what exactly this is.
Yeah, definitely. To touch on June 10th a little bit with Gunnerfest, for people that are listening, you can definitely expect, I think, more of a PG-13 type of show. I think, they haven't necessarily, RCCW hasn't necessarily been advertising that show very heavily to you know, their normal crowd because
I don't think it's one that you want to create like a Facebook event for. Maybe this one would be more like a word of mouth, get the flyer and the password
but,
type of thing.
Gunners contacted them and wanted to bring them in, so it's going to be part of their festival up there, so that should be interesting to say the least. I have no idea what Gunnerfest is. I've never been to it. I know that I look like the type of guy that would probably go to something like that.
Brown's the type of guy.
We should get him on the horn because he's probably an expertise with Gunnerfest.
Yep.
But you hit the nail on the head when you talked about July 2nd. I mean, Riverfest, for those of you that don't know, here in La Crosse, outside of Oktoberfest, probably our biggest festival throughout the year. And to be on that first Sunday of Riverfest is going to be huge down at Riverside Park because, well, like you mentioned, yeah, people are going to see it.
Well, Riverfest, much like Oktoberfest now, is like consolidated a little bit. So you have just like that 4 days.
Oh,
so,
is that right?
Yeah, it's like the first, second, third, fourth. So being on that Sunday afternoon on the second, like, it is still a huge crowd because everyone is in town for that 4th of July weekend.
And a lot of people have that the 3rd of July off, maybe, yep, to, you know, go with that 4th of July on a Tuesday.
A lot of people have the 4th off as it is. So for these guys, this is huge. This is really big because getting your name out there, you've seen it with, like, BCW, working festival shows.
Right.
You've seen it with WPW, working festival shows. So working the festival circuit, and it's a great way for a company to perhaps meet potential sponsors as well. Because you see how the crowd interacts with your product, people want to be attached to that.
Right.
And getting the non-casual wrestling fan to watch what exactly this is. I mean, Nick, honestly, my first indie show was at a festival.
Right.
You know, like, I never would have gotten into it if it wasn't for a festival.
Well, and that's part of it, too, because, you know, you're there for different reasons. You know, half the time when you're going to the American Legion or if you're going to the Knights of Columbus or whatever, like, you are going there specifically to watch wrestling.
Yeah.
When you're at these festivals, then all of a sudden you have, you know, quite possibly, like, you know, let's say 20% of the people that are going to the festivals are wrestling fans.
Yep.
You're opening your show's doors to that 20% that didn't know you existed otherwise. I mean, you can plaster posters around town and post on social media all you want, but you're always going to miss out on some of that audience. This is the opportunity for them to, like you, you know, show somebody that, hey, we have this local thing going on down at the American Legion. Mm-hmm. Start coming to our shows every other month, you know, and helping us grow our fan base. I would think if any promoters are listening that haven't dug into that festival, you know, cookie jar yet, should definitely do that because while, you know, a Riverfest probably isn't available to everybody that's running a promotion, I think getting into festivals, you know, sometimes is your best way of doing things. Plus, you know, while they're maybe not the most convenient shows to run because of lighting and whatever, I typically think they are some of the less expensive shows that you'd have to run.
Yeah, from what it always sounds like is the fest always gives the entertainment like a budget.
Yeah.
And it's a good practice for your promoter to really kind of book a show that can maximize what your ability is as a promoter and what your ability is as that promotion to do what you're going to do. And it's really kind of cool, even though like the lighting isn't great and stuff like that, it's always hit and miss, too, because of the weather.
Right.
But the cool thing about Wisconsin, the cool thing about Minnesota, Iowa, Illinois, all that stuff, when it's nice out and there's festivals, there is people.
There's a lot of people.
And there's always festivals. There's a fucking festival going on every weekend.
Yeah.
If you really opened up your community calendar and looked at what's going on weekends throughout the state, festival, 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 phew.
You're still going.
Just all the way down. It is a huge thing for companies and even for fans.
Well, that's what I'm saying, man. I mean, it's like I don't like country music, but if I'm already at a festival and I'm not paying to see the country musician put on a show on stage, you know, it's like I'm more inclined to just be like, yeah, whatever. I'll just enjoy. I'll just try to enjoy
this. There and be like, honky tonk. But don't go down.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it happened a couple years at Riverfest. There was some country artist there, and I was there in the beer tent, and I was you know, having a couple of drinks, eating food, and there was country music, and I was like, you know, a couple of my friends were going to go over there, and I was like, I'll just tag along. Like, who cares, right? You know what I mean? And the same thing can happen with wrestling. I mean, it's hard picturing this not as a wrestling fan, but, like, if you were to go down to a fest and you just saw this ginormous wrestling ring with dudes, like, suplexing and pile-driving each other in the ring – like, it has to catch your attention a little bit. Like, it's hard to just walk by that and be like, nah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And it's one of those things where wrestling, no matter what, like, people want to say, it's in the vernacular of the pop culture. So you kind of have a predisposed, like, idea of what exactly wrestling is. And then you see it. And you're like, well, this might be totally different than what I'm used
to. Yeah. And you have, you know, you have guys like El Ducho running around the ring, like, yelling at people
looking like a ridiculous idiot. El Ducho is you. So,
yeah, that's right. That's true. But, you know, that's kind of the fun of it, too, because it's something that it's different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
communities that, you know, see this on the big stage. You know, it's like you always have an opportunity to see some form of basketball or some form of football. There's high school sports. There's, you know, semi-pro sports everywhere. If you wanted to go see a show at a theater, there's always that. But it seems like sometimes wrestling has a hard time promoting within whatever city that it's in. So when it's at a festival like this, when it's at an open area for people just to come and see, it's kind of like, well, that's, you know, that's something I don't ever have an opportunity to see, or I don't know, I didn't know that we had in this area. So again, you know, aside from just being a great place to meet sponsors and a great place to put on a show and have a wide audience, it's also a great place, as you mentioned and we've been talking about, to promote your company for long-term success. I mean, because, you know, I would go on, I mean, I would bet that they're going to have, you know, quite a few people, I think, that are going to end up going to more shows at the Legion because they're going to see the show at Summerfest and be like, you know, this is something that I could actually probably go to every, you know, other Friday per month or whatever it is. I'm super excited for that, and I think that has incredible potential to build the fan base of River City Championship Wrestling, because we talked about how exciting is it that we can drive, you know, 5 minutes to get to the show.
we can walk.
Right.
We can bring
Ryan Brown back to, you know, and chillax for 4 hours and just talk wrestling without having to worry about getting home and not passing out in Toma or whatever, you know what I mean?
Hitting a deer or something.
Hiding it. Oh, my gosh. That's been awful lately.
Yep.
That has been terrible.
Yeah, especially the last road trip to Oshkosh was pretty bad, but.
Definitely.
Yeah. It's going to be a good stretch for these guys, and I don't know. Man, I'm really pulling for them. I really am, and I know they're going to do success. They're going to do very, very well with this. And we know the guys promoting this. We know the guys who are putting their heart and souls into this product, from guys in the back to the workers in the ring and everything like that. They're going to open up a lot of eyes, I think, on July 2nd.
Yeah.
A lot of eyes. And it's going to be fun to see them come back to the American Legion in August and see what that bleed-over crowd's going to be like.
Plus, RCCW features, like, Nikki Duchesne is, like, one of the hottest acts in wrestling today, I'm pretty sure. So,
which is, I don't know how that one happened.
What?
I'm joking.
I'm right here, man.
I'm joking, man.
Nah, I'm just kidding.
But, all right, cool. So basically, touched on River City Championship Wrestling,
but,
what they got coming up.
Yes, but I think we should take a break.
Yeah, we probably should.
Because we're probably over our break time. It's fun saying that, even though we don't have a break time.
We really don't have
it. Makes us
sponsors.
Sound professional when we have, but it makes us like, it's like we're over, we have to take our break. Mm-hmm. But we have some national things that we're going to talk about, some, you know, I think things that will be fun to elaborate on coming up next, including a little bit of a Twitter scandal and whether or not you know, pretending that you're having a shoot injury in the middle of a match is good or bad. We'll talk about that coming up next right here on Grapple Talk.
Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Chris Lockman, host of the Smark Money Wrestling Podcast. Join me and my co-host, AJ Jensen, each week as we discuss all things professional wrestling. WWE, NXT, Ring of Honor, Lucha Underground, New Japan, as well as the local indie scene here in Wisconsin. We'll also bring you interviews with some of the Midwest up-and-coming independent stars and where you can see them in your area. You can find us on SoundCloud and iTunes, as well as on Twitter, at Smark Money. Check us out.
Hi, this is the Minnesota Madman, Doug Meyer, host of the wrestling podcast on the DVM Podcast Empire.
One Ball Radio.
We recap Raw, NXT, Ring of Honor, and other shows of the week. We interview wrestlers, go back in time with This Week in Wrestling History, and we go, hey, whatever happened to? Check us out on iTunes or DVMPE.com.
Ryan Yanishadis here from the Ringside Report to remind you to watch the Ringside Report every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 6 p.m. on YouTube. Brandon McGrath and I discuss WWE, TNA, and the local independent scene. Go to youtube.com/RB Enterprises. That is the Ringside Report, your front row seat to all things wrestling.
Hey, this is Dave Dynasty from the Dave Dynasty Show. Hey, check out our weekly podcast where you get my take on wrestling headlines, I answer listener questions, and I interview your favorite independent wrestling stars. You can find us at www.davedynasty.com or look up The Dave Dynasty Show on iTunes, SoundCloud, and YouTube. Thanks for your support.
Hey, everybody. It's me, Darren Corbin.
I've always gotten the question, why do I not do my own podcast? Well, I've branched out and I've tried to do Wrestling Reflections and the Wrestlers Reviewing Movie Letter, plus my promos that I flood your feed with all the time. And the number one reason is, when it comes to podcasts, everyone can always find a way to hear myself talk, and there's numerous podcasts out there, but I want to give my endorsement to one very special one. And that'd be Grapple Talk, that covers a lot of the Midwest independent wrestling highlights. See, a lot of the local Midwest wrestlers are the spotlight of the Squared Circle hosts. And that would be Nick Ragnar, Jesse Von Rudin, and AC Riley. And every week on iTunes or Podbean, you can catch their podcast. So I just want to give them a shout out. So if you're asking me why I don't do podcasts and you're maybe looking for my opinion, check them out for all your podcast needs and take a look and keep supporting independent wrestling in the Midwest.
Welcome back to Grapple Talk, ladies and gents. We are going to start talking about some things in wrestling today that will probably be fun to talk about because who knows if other podcasts are talking about it. You want to hear about Raw and SmackDown? Go listen to some other podcasts. Am I right, Jesse? High five,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, well, we also didn't watch Raw or SmackDown this week, and we're not going to give you guys the spoilers. They taped ahead in the UK, so we're not going to give you the spoilers for that. Hey, but cool spoilers, though. The UK tournament. They ended up having some tapings, big special coming up. You're going to see Pete Dunne taking on Tyler Bate at NXT Chicago. That's the big match.
That's exciting. That's really
huge
exciting
for anyone going to Chicago.
Definitely. I mean, I thought that'd be fun for us to do, but then I was like, I like money, so that's not happening anymore.
Yeah,
but
you kind of have to say it like, you know, like the one guy in Idiocracy. I like money.
I like money. Yeah. So we're not going to talk about that, but what we want to talk about that we kind of discussed a little bit before the show today that I thought was really interesting was this whole Jack Evans seizure thing in Mexico. And Jesse, you want to give maybe our listeners a backstory of what this is all about
apparently,
for people that don't know?
The backstory is very much, all right, so it was actually reported over the weekend that Jack Evans had a shoot seizure during a match with Crash Wrestling. It's one of the upstart promotions there in Mexico, and it blew up on the internet. What happened, though, was everyone got worked because it was basically just a worked injury.
So what happened? Did he get, like, kicked in the face or something? Or
No. It sounds like it just
I know you
happened.
Weren't in Mexico.
I wasn't really there, and I'm trying to, like, see exactly what happened. So anyhow,
play the vid.
Pro Wrestling Sheet has basically, it was after the match. Evans is on the mat, seizuring, basically, like, twitching.
Oh, it's after
like
the
that.
Match. Okay.
And they have paramedics coming in, stretchered him out on a board. You know, stuff you see kind of like in every wrestling promotion. WWE is notorious for doing this. Now, it was one of those things where everyone played it to the hilt when it came to, like, the talent. They're just like, oh, man, that's not cool, you know, blah, 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 blah. And as seen in here, it looked very serious. So when it actually was reported, a lot of people took the stance of like, oh, man, what the hell, Jack
GoFundMes.
You know, GoFundMes, oh, my God, that's terrible. Next thing you know, it's a work.
Right.
So then, this is the worst part, though, I think, about the whole situation. The second it became a work, it became like, oh, that's just absolutely disgusting. Why you're doing that as an angle? Why would you do such a thing? And, Nick, I'm wondering, man, when did we stop as wrestling fans, like, feeling like, the phrase I want to look for. Why do we give a shit if promoters or talent try to insult our intelligence with a worked injury? Do we need everything to be a shoot injury?
I think we've talked about this before, and I think it comes back to the issue of just people that like to bitch and complain about angles and things like that not going their way, hating when things go a way that they didn't expect.
But
you know what I mean?
But I think with it's
I know
the
it's different,
thing.
But yeah,
it's
I know it's different, thing, but I think it's kind of similar because it's like at the same time when you yourself either a you know you consider yourself to be like this smart fan or you consider yourself to be a fan of the game, like you understand how things work. When you are wrong, you know, you feel stupid. Like, it makes you feel like, I'm dumb. Like, I got worked by that? I'm an idiot. Like, I'm so stupid. Wait, no. I'm not stupid. I'm smart. You're stupid for doing something like that to me. I think that's part of the issue. And the other part of the issue is people forget that this is entertainment and that, you know, while it is sports entertainment, it's still entertainment. It's there to, you know, evoke emotions out of people, make them feel things. And, you know, I think sometimes people just are like, oh, hey, man, like, that's not cool. Like, people suffer seizures every day, man. Like, what are you're, like, basically shitting on people that have seizures, man. Like, what's up with that, man? Like, I think some people just like to get
are
mad.
Are you really
that's
shitting
what I'm trying
on
to
someone?
Say.
Are you really, like, shitting on someone by having a seizure after a match? Or even, like,
I'm not saying this.
Or,
that's
no,
not
no,
me.
No, yeah, it's a think about it, right? So it's like you have a guy, like, after a grueling match, like, collapse. Like Taker did after one of his WrestleMania matches. And everyone's like, oh.
Right.
If that's part of the fucking work, then who gives a shit?
We did this on a much lesser scale, but A.C. Riley and Moses Mayhem were had a rivalry heating up at RWA, right?
Yeah.
In Waseca or Rosemont or wherever the hell they were booking that weekend.
I like how you don't know where this happened.
Well, because it was a different couple different locations. But anyways, you know, I came up with this idea. Moses Mayhem, he's this huge monster guy, right? Like, he's like, realistically, we're thinking about storytelling. We're thinking about how can we tell this story to people, right? So Moses Mayhem, I'm sitting there. I think I was at work or something. I probably wasn't doing my job, which isn't good. But I was trying to figure out, I was like, how can we do this matchup? Because Moses is a big guy. AC Riley's a big guy. You know, do we want a traditional big guy match? And then all of a sudden it clicked to me. It's like, let's work the crowd with a knee injury, right?
Yeah.
So he falls off the apron wrong, and he sells it like crazy. We have people come out there, start helping him to the back. Me and AC Riley, we flip the switch, and all of a sudden we're in concerned mode. Like, we're concerned for our fellow competitor. We drop the heel gimmick. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we did it. We worked the crowd until, obviously, you know, at the end of the – when Moses is getting dragged back to the apron or the curtain, he, you know, is like, I'm done. I'm going to fight through this. And he comes back in the ring, and then everybody realizes it was work, because that's just how things are nowadays. But when you do stuff like that, it's, again, the idea behind entertainment and wrestling. It's to evoke emotion. It's to make people be like, oh, my gosh, like, you know, this – I think it's partially because people nowadays know the dirty little secrets about pro wrestling so much that it really adds to it. Like, how can they feel emotion, or how can they feel any sort of, you know, sympathy, or, you know, any concern for anybody when they know what's happening in the ring isn't like legitimate? You know what I mean? So when you see something like a seizure like this, or you see Moses Mayhem faking an ACL tear, or you see something else that's happening, it triggers your actual human emotions, and it brings out something that you can't get unless you do something like that. So I perfectly understand from a promoter's aspect or a worker's aspect why they would do something like this. As for people getting upset about it, you know, I honestly don't really understand it very much, because it's, like I said, it's like watching a television show. If I see a guy get shot in the face on television, I'm not mad when I find out that he's not really dead. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Are you sure? You don't get
it depends
that?
On what actor it is, I
okay,
guess. But
you think about it. All right. So some of the greatest angles in wrestling history have always been injury angles. I don't know if you actually got a chance to watch this one. It's the Owen Hart, Shawn Michaels concussion injury. You ever see that?
Yeah, too? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That one was played so fucking well.
Right.
And you're like, wow, where is the line here?
Right.
Because it was just after the match, celebrating, Michaels collapses. There is the worked broken legs, the worked broken necks, the work blindness, all this stuff. And is that, like, do we just, like, do we really need that much fucking reality in our wrestling that we need guys to be legitimately hurt to actually have emotions, like, work that way? Because it seems like if a promoter or a worker works us like they're supposed to, and then you find out about it, you're just like, oh, that's just wrestling. Bullshit. Fuck it. You know, but if it actually fucking happens, like the whole thing with Shibata, right?
Right.
Where it came out originally, oh, hey, it's a work. And it's like, no, man, this is complete.
This dude might be done.
He might be done. And it becomes one of those things where everyone's first impression is, oh, it's a work. You know? It's so fucking weird.
I think it's just a line that you have to deal with in pro wrestling. Like, it's, you know, it's, you have the danger element there. But at the same time, we just talked about it. It's entertainment. So it's like you have that sports aspect to it where injuries are real and blah, blah, blah. But then you also have the entertainment aspect where you're trying to tell a story. I'm not exactly sure what the Jack Evans story is, whether it's him needing to be written off crash for a while, or maybe this is going to work into some angle later on where, you know, I mean, his next match that he has for Crash. I'm not exactly sure what the angle is working there, but I'm sure that if it was a work, it's storytelling to you know, drag something out, or, you know, make some sort of a rivalry or whatever long term.
Yeah, because like anything that you're going to do in a match should serve a purpose. So if he's working this injury, it's got to serve a purpose.
Right. And I, again, you know, I just think, you know, sometimes that's it's just people having differing opinions on what wrestling is and what wrestling should be. We hear about it all the time. You know, if you go to an event, if you like Memphis-style wrestling, if you like that storytelling, that slow chain wrestling, you know, maybe you won't like going to a show that's full of spot fests and lucha wrestling and things like that. It's just kind of a differing taste of what you like in your wrestling. If you like stories and you like being worked with seizure angles or with whatever, then maybe that's your cup of tea. But otherwise, I think, you know, a lot of people, we've talked about this, just get mad at wrestling to get mad at wrestling. They just like having something to complain about. So I think a lot of what you're probably hearing on this in a response to this whole seizure thing is just people being upset that they got worked because it makes them feel stupid. And then also just, you know, maybe just the traditionalists that don't see a point to having that also not enjoying it. I'm just trying to wrap my head around, you know, and I love to play devil's advocate because there's nothing more fun than arguing with Jesse. But I cannot think of a reason to get upset about that. I can't think of a reason why wrestling shouldn't have the ability to work you through an injury. You're great at playing devil's advocate, Jesse, so I'll pose the question to you. If you could try to make an argument as to why wrestling shouldn't be using these reality angles, whether it is injuries or talking about a dead relative that just passed away, similar to like Paige and Charlotte that they did like a year or two ago. What's your argument in not utilizing something like that?
My argument might very well be that sometimes your fan base does not know what the line is drawn between real.
So your
and
fans are idiots then.
And I'm not saying real entertainment. It's because as a promoter, especially probably within the last, you know, for the longest time, kayfabe. For as great as it is, kayfabe does a lot of weird shit with today's product. Because you have to draw that line between what's real and what's fantasy. And kayfabe used to be, that's the fine fucking line. Now you dissolve that.
Yeah.
So everything's kind of bleeding into one another. So when you have these things called shoots on TV, and everyone's like, oh, I can't believe you said that. Oh, my God. Guess what?
Miz has made his year out of doing
exactly.
that stuff.
But you know why? They're not fucking shooting. They're just bleeding in that fucking reality.
Yep, right.
And if they were shooting and going into business for themselves, their mic would be dropped like that.
Yep.
Simple as that. So bringing up someone's like dead relative and stuff like that, the wrestlers are going to find whatever excuse they can use to use something that's going to get leaked to become a thing in the sport because, goddamn, it's good story filing.
Yeah, you're right.
Now, the only thing that you're never going to use, of course, is leaked nudes for whatever apparent reason. Like, that is something that no one's ever going to fucking touch.
Yeah, they're not going to do that.
Because that's all, you know,
not a good idea.
Based. But that's the only thing I can really kind of, like, sum is that kayfabe was that great standard bearer where you can get away with doing injury angles and everyone thought it was always legit. All right, cool. So the other story that came over the wire this past weekend was actually a very interesting one. Hey, Nick, have you ever heard of the band Kings of Leon?
Is that their song?
Yeah.
I've been roaming around always. Is that's them?
That is Kings of Leon. Good. So Kings of Leon, pretty big, like, alt-rock band.
Yeah, pretty popular.
Very popular.
I don't know them very much, but I know
very
that song.
Very popular, though. Yeah. Very, very popular. Right. Well, their bassist, Jared Falwell. Now, he made a mistake over this past weekend, I guess. He kind of decided to stir the pot and proclaim that, why is anyone watching wrestling? That stuff is dumb.
And of course, he has probably like thousands and thousands, maybe millions
probably
of followers.
Millions. He's certified on Twitter. So he's got a lot.
Yeah, he's got a lot.
A lot. And it's Kings of Leon. They got a voice still in the music business, even though, like, they
how dare he share his opinion on social media?
How dare he? But also, my God, the number of people who came out in the defense of pro wrestling?
Like famous people?
Famous people. This is insane. So his Twitter got blown the fuck up. All right, so Jim Cornette hit him up. I feel like I should insult this ass hat, but I have no idea who he is. God
Great.
Damn. He's got a blue check.
Good.
Does anyone know if young fellow is someone? Evan, of course.
Nice.
Right after that, Xavier Woods chimed in. I don't think he knows what he speaks. Pro wrestling is best thing ever, but I'm sure we have all educated him already. Keen Ricochet got on it. Chad Gable got on it. The Young Bucks got on it. Elijah Burke got on it. Chip Day got it. Ethan Page got on it. Gabe Sapolsky got on it. Everyone got on it. And it got even to the point where Veda Scott got on it. Jared Falwell, he ended up telling her to shut her legs.
Wow.
And that started a whole nother shitstorm right there.
Right. But let's focus on the wrestling aspect of it because I don't want to talk about legs being open and closed.
Yeah.
But
are you sure, Nick?
Yeah. I'm sitting here looking at those tweets, and I'm actually wondering if any of those famous wrestling figures took any of what his tweet was serious and if they weren't just tweeting to tweet. You know what I mean? I never know what it's like being famous. So, I mean, I don't know if they're like just checking Twitter one day and they're like, ah, I'm going to respond to this just for funsies because I have a ton of followers. Why not? Because, like, who cares? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's just me, though. I mean, I don't know. What do you what is your point of view on this whole thing? Do you think he's dumb for saying that? Do you think he's out of line for saying that to his millions of followers?
No, come on, man. It's like if you had a friend at some point in time say, "Hey, man, what's up with this wrestling thing, man? Like, why do you like this wrestling thing?" And you feel like you're personally slighted. So
you're not wrong about
that. So I wonder if it's one of those things where here's the funny thing about like wrestling fans, right? We're so defensive, but like if someone in the community doesn't have the same viewpoint as us, attack, 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 attack. But if someone starts attacking the community, attack, attack, attack that person that's attacking the community.
Right.
It's so fucked.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is. You know, dude was obviously looking for something. There's no reason to tweet that unless he's
around.
He's been looking for some reasons to get yelled at. I don't know.
Yeah, dude probably just likes sex is not on fire either.
Yeah.
So.
He's like stirring the pot, I guess. If you haven't seen the tweets yet, the whole thread's pretty fun. I spent a little bit of my Sunday going through it and reading all the responses. They're pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Some good stuff. To be honest, I didn't know who he was either. I just was like, who's this guy? And then I didn't even do digging. I had no idea that he was part of Kings Elite. I just thought he was a random blue checkmark guy.
At some point, I was like going through it on Sunday, and I'm like, why is hashtag, you know, like, better Kings than Leon? I'm like, what the fuck? And then I started going, I'm like, whoa, that's interesting there.
It is kind of cool to see the wrestling community like come out like that. You know what I mean? It's just like, hey, man, like, wrestling isn't dumb. You're dumb. Ha ha. LOL. Who are you? Hashtag blessed. Hashtag CBS. You know what I mean? That's kind of cool. It's kind of funny at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Do I care about it? Not really.
No.
I mean, it's just whatever. But it's interesting. It's kind of cool.
It's an interesting story just for the simple fact that you're looking at what social media really kind of does to the wrestling community.
What is your first response if somebody comes up to you and is like, oh, why do you watch that wrestling? Like, wrestling? That's stupid. What are you, five? Like, what is your response to somebody like nowadays? Because, like, back in the day for me, it was, you know, obviously get, like, really defensive about it and, like, explain to them my whole manifesto of why wrestling is the greatest thing of all time. Nowadays, it's way different. But, like, what is your response to something like that nowadays?
I think the easiest response for the longest time, though, it's like it all depends on who actually would hit you up with that. So it's someone who loves sports. We're like, you know, like pro wrestling is very athletic. And then you kind of really break it down for that. If you have people who basically just watch nothing but like entertainment shows like Walking Dead and stuff like that, you're like, well, pro wrestling has a story.
Right.
You can follow every week.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And it's like one of those things where if you get it, you get it. You don't, you don't. You know, so a lot of people already have like that predetermined idea of what wrestling is. And it's almost kind of like if you have the blinders for whatever political or religious beliefs you have, you're never going to look at something else.
And I think that's part of it, too, because when you have people that I'm not just talking about wrestling, but when you have people that discredit things, you know, like I'll sit up here and talk about how much I hate the Real Housewives, but I've never watched an episode of that. Quite honestly,
it's terrible.
Sometimes my fiance is watching reality shows like that, and I'll catch an episode or two, and I'm like, you know what, I maybe can't see myself binge watching this, but I don't like necessarily hate it. Like, I'm not going to bash it to somebody.
I think that's part of wrestling.
You
mean, Nick, you're not going to take a baseball bat to that TV?
I'm not. And I think that's part of wrestling, too, is I think most people that think it's dumb or childish or stupid, like, the only thing they think about is, you know, Mankind sticking the sock in somebody's face. Like, they don't understand the storytelling aspect of it or the athleticism portion of it or anything else that's put into it, the production aspect of it. Like, they don't get that. And I think that's sometimes why it's hard, because half the time when people are trying to make that argument with you, it's like somebody that voted for Trump or voted for Hillary Clinton and wants to have an argument with you on why you're wrong and they're right. And it's like, this argument's not going to go anywhere, because at the end of the day, nobody's going to convince anybody of anything different. So what's the point of having it?
This is the coolest thing, right? Remember when we saw WWE live?
Which one?
I'm actually this past one in the lacrosse center. Sitting behind us was a 90-year-old woman.
She's in front of us, actually.
And then she sat in front of us.
Yeah, she moved.
Originally, she sat behind us.
Right.
But she goes to every one of the WWE shows that comes into town. Now,
right.
Would you think, like, wow, this grandmother.
I thought her son gave her a ticket and was like, see you, Granny.
Yeah.
You know what
I'm going to go get a hand job or something, Granny.
Yeah.
But no, like, all of a sudden, like, she's like, oh, I've been going to these shows forever and a day. And you would never expect that. You go to the local shows and you see in grandfathers with grandsons. It's something that families can actually just enjoy together. Like, some people just have really good memories of wrestling, and they like the feel, they like the atmosphere, they like the storytelling, they like the presentation, they like all that stuff. And to discredit fans and say they're like idiotic and stupid for enjoying something in life, that, fuck, man, like, that's just so mindless and so retarded.
It's
I used the R word.
Don't
there.
Use that word.
I know, but it's just, it's very... It is very asinine to attack people based on the fact that what they find for entertainment you don't agree with.
I mean, they could see it as more than entertainment. They can see it as a lifestyle. They can, as you mentioned, see it as a rite of passage with their loved ones. You know, when people ask me about it, I literally tell them, you know, I loved it when I was a kid, and I never grew out of it. I never stopped enjoying it, and that's why I still enjoy it. I always tell them, it's like, I can't give you a specific reason on why I like wrestling. You know, I can't give you a specific reason why I like The Walking Dead. I can't give you a specific reason why I like watching football. I mean, you can go out there and analyze everything, whether it's the drama in it, or it is the athleticism, or it's because, you know, Dolph Ziggler has cool ramen noodle hair. Like, I don't have a good explanation for why I like things.
Cool, man.
But I've just always enjoyed it, and I've never thought twice about not enjoying it. And that's, you know, what I tell people. It's just like, this is part of, you know, it's part of who I am. It's something I enjoy.
It's like people read, all right, one of my favorite arguments of all time, right? I ended up having this one with, I was like 22. We were living in like a duplex, right? And like our downstairs neighbor had this boyfriend. Nice kid, stuff like that. We started talking about movies one day. He's like, hey, so what kind of movies do you like, Jesse? I'm like, well, currently, you know, I'm really big into like The Good, The Bad, The Ugly, stuff like that.
Right.
So like really big spaghetti westerns. I'm like, what about you? He's like, oh, man, I can't get into that type of stuff. You know, it's just it's not real enough. I'm like, okay, what do you mean not real enough? You know, like,
like
what?
He likes The Grizzly Man?
Are you more into, like, you know, like documentaries and stuff? He's like, nah, Ocean's 11. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, how the fuck is Ocean's 11 more of a realistic, like, portrayal of life than, like, you know, fucking The Good, Bad, The Ugly?
I don't know.
Or a documentary.
I don't know.
And it just kind of blew my mind, you know, but it's one of those things where, man, just, it's so weird.
Yeah.
So weird.
I will admit, sometimes it is kind of fun telling people how dumb they are, as we saw over WrestleMania, just, you know, with that Facebook group we're in. And we
fun.
See, sometimes it's fun.
Yeah.
But, you know, we were doing it more as a joke than actually instead of actually attacking somebody's way of living. But hey, I think we should probably
we're over
our break again. Our sponsors are gonna get mad at us.
Yeah, if you guys have any thoughts and opinions on these two topics that we actually brought up today and you want to join the conversation, you always can do that too on the social medias. Remember, we are on the Twitters. You can find both Nick and myself there, or the Grapple Talk as well on the Twitter. We're on the Facebooks as well. Pretty easy to get a hold of us.
Yeah, definitely. Nick J. Ragnar or NJ Ragnar. I do not remember what. I think it's Nick J. Ragnar is
maybe
my Twitter handle. I don't remember. Just search for Hot Stuff, and I'm usually one of the top search options. I'm not sure why that is.
Oh, because you're certified Hot Stuff.
Yeah, it has to be something like that. And you're at Jesse Von Raspberry, right?
No, it's Jesse Von Rude. I'm the only person with that name. So if you're looking for me anywhere, really, I mean, that's just Jesse Von Rude, and I pop up.
There you are.
Yeah.
Bam! There's Jesse Von Raspberry.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. All right, so let's take a quick break. We'll do This Day in Wrestling History when we come back.
You're listening to Grapple Talk.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Keeping you up...
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Keeping you up...
Yes! 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 Yes!
Keeping you up to date on the Midwestern Independent Wrestling.
For the latest pro wrestling news, keep it locked to www.gerweck.net, Gerwick.net, pro wrestling since 1997.
Hey, Grapple Talk listeners, this is Chris from Spot Monkey Media. Are you a professional wrestler, a promoter, a business owner? Spot Monkey Media is graphic design for the wrestling professional. We offer design services for t-shirts, event posters, 8x10s, logos, and even ring gear. But if you're not in the wrestling business, we work outside the ropes. Go to spotmonkeymedia.com for more information. Spot Monkey Media, create your legacy.
Hello, wrestling fans. Colt Cabana coming to you live from the 1 Hour Tease Arena in beautiful Chicago, Illinois. The pro wrestling action has been great so far. As you can see, Joey really dominating the ring so far. There's a beautiful belly-to-back suplex and... Looks like Joey's shirt has been ripped.
What's up with that? You ripped my shirt.
Let's go check an instant replay, see exactly what happened. There you can see Joey's shirt ripped from the collar, and that's not good when you're trying to wear your pro wrestling t-shirt.
Man, you ripped my shirt. It's my only shirt. Joey.
Hey, looks like Ryan from 1 Hour Tees just threw Joey Ryan a brand new t-shirt.
Thanks, Pro Wrestling Tees.
ProWrestlingTees.com, over 3,000 wrestling t-shirts designed and sold by pro wrestlers. Wrestlers such as Steve Austin, CM Punk, Macho Man, Mick Foley, DDP, Andre the Giant, Jake the Snake, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Scott Hall, Ted DiBiase, Colt Cabana, Joey Ryan, Cliff Compton, and the entire Bullet Club. All stores owned by pro wrestlers. Support pro wrestling today and visit ProWrestlingTees.com.
Tune into the Indie Power Rankings reveal every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio, Filling the Void Radio Network. You can also subscribe to Filling the Void Radio Network on iTunes. Give a follow to the Indie Power Rankings on Twitter at Indie Power Ranking, no GS, Instagram at Indie Power Rankings, on Facebook, facebook.com/IndiePowerRankings. You can also go to the website where you can see the top 10 for the week, the tag team top 5, anything else independent wrestling related, IndiePowerRankingsIPR.wordpress.com.
Talk about your Psalms. Talk about John 3:16. Austin 3:16 says...
Stop watching your neighbors get undressed. You're listening to Grapple Talk.
Come on, that's not necessary.
All he's got to do is...
Download the latest Grapple Talk podcast on iTunes. Just type Grapple Talk into the search bar. It's not rocket science.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
Well, Nick, we're about to wrap things up here on Grapple Talk. But, you know, one of the things we like to do is always look back at wrestling and see what exactly happened on this day
in
wrestling
history. Yeah, definitely. Our friends over at CagesideSeats.com, every single day putting together this day in wrestling history. That's where we go to find out what happened today. In the history of pro wrestling, if you want to check it out, head up to the website.
And today we're actually recording on May 9th, and
that's
May
right.
9th end up having to be one of the landmark moments in Japanese pro wrestling history. 46 years ago, as Tatsumi Fujinawa made his debut at the tender age of 17 for Japan Wrestling Association.
Wow.
Now, he's one of the benchmark guys in Japanese pro wrestling history. He would actually follow his mentor, Inoki, and form New Japan Pro Wrestling the following
year.
That is
so cool, man.
Basically, he was one of the men there in New Japan Pro Wrestling for over 34 years. He's a consummate pro. He's a member of the WWE Hall of Fame. I think everyone's seen a Fujinawa match at some point in time. If you haven't, look him up. He's definitely one of the greats. Of course, 42 years ago today as well in Tokyo, the WWF champion Bruno Sammartino took on the Pacific Wrestling Federation champion Giant Baba. They had a no contest. It was a title unification match. It was the first time the WWF championship was ever defended in Japan.
Yeah, breaking down barriers a little bit. As we know nowadays, Japan, real hot wrestling scene, especially with their tour here coming to the United States, New Japan Wrestling I'm talking there. But, you know, the Japan wrestling scene, I always think that, you know, if I could ever go anywhere, and it sounds so stupid, but, like, honestly, Japan would be, like, a top destination just because I want to experience what that pro wrestling, you know, that atmosphere is like, you know what I mean? Because we always talk about pro wrestling in, like, Philly or Chicago or whatever, but I feel like Japan is a whole nother Godzilla. Yeah. I was going to say monster, but I think Godzilla is more
funny. Godzilla, yeah. And it was one of those things, too, if you look at Giant Baba and what exactly happened with New Japan and then All Japan almost right after that. It was an interesting story. Okay, 29 years ago today in Memphis, Tennessee. Jerry Lawler defeated Curt Hennig in a career versus title match to win the AWA World Heavyweight Championship.
Wow.
Now, this is actually this is an important matchup both in the history of the AWA and basically Memphis wrestling itself. This is the first time a title has ever really kind of changed hands in Memphis at this point in time. Curt Hennig was on his way to the WWF, and Jerry Lawler and Memphis were getting in bed with the AWA at this point in time. Now, what the funny thing was, though, the AWA was also on the downturn at this point in time, and it was one of those things where the tumultuous relationship between the Memphis office and the AWA basically kind of became non-existent, and basically the AWA ended up stripping Jerry Lawler the title. Jerry Lawler never even got paid for one of his title matches he had against
crazy to think about.
Kevin Von Erich.
So
it's going to be interesting to see how that one goes.
23 years ago, Jesse, I find this one really cool. Uh-huh. I'm going to ask you a follow-up question after I get done talking about it. Osaka, Japan hosted the Royal Rumble, Undertaker last eliminating Bam Bam Bigelow to win that matchup. But I think the big thing here is the fact that the Royal Rumble was held in Japan 23 years ago. Other WWE events obviously being held in other countries.
It was just an advertised Royal Rumble match, so it wasn't the event itself.
Well, now I'm embarrassed.
Well, that's okay.
But that's my follow-up question, though. Do you ever think, like, a pay-per-view like a Royal Rumble or, like, a Survivor Series or SummerSlam would ever be held in, like, a Mexico or in a Japan or a Europe or a, something like that? Do you think that's a possibility?
Yeah, I think
a big pay-per-view like that.
It will be at some point in time, especially with the way the network is going. Okay, cool.
Oh, my gosh. Touch on this one, please.
All right, so this
19
one's
years ago.
19
Hit
years
it up.
Ago, WCW presented the ultimate video bash, a WCW MTV crossover event.
MTV now, is known for their wrestling. What was that one wrestling show they had for a little while?
It's
like X something or Wrestling
Society
X. That's
what
it was.
Which was pretty good. All right, so this was actually kind of interesting. It was an outdoor event in May in New York City, and Mother Nature was unkind. So there is the famous match between the Public Enemy and High Voltage that took place basically in a rainstorm.
MTV was MTV responsible for Ready to Rumble? No, they didn't help with that. Did they? Did MTV Studios help with that?
I don't know. You gotta.
I don't remember.
All right, cool. So, also 18 years ago today, WCW presented Slamboree.
Slamboree! 1999.
You can catch this on the WWE Network as well. This one's an interesting one. It's Slamboree 99. So, Goldberg and Sting had their epic main event contest. And looking over some of this card, Kevin Nash defeated Diamond Dallas Page to win the WCW World Heavyweight Championship. It's an interesting bit of trivia. Nash holds the title for 9 weeks, his second longest title reign in WCW that year. So 9 weeks, Nick.
This is the fall of WCW.
2 months, basically. Insane.
There's an awesome video on YouTube somewhere where you can look up all the titles that changed hands in WCW that year. Kevin Nash held it about like 15 times. It was hilarious. It's hilarious to look back and see. 8 years ago, let's talk about it. Nick Bollea, the son of Terry Bollea, who we know to be Hulk Hogan.
Brother.
Sentenced to eight.
Yeah.
That threw me off. He's sentenced to 8 months in prison after pleading no. This isn't funny. Sentenced to 8 months in prison after pleading no contest to his role in an auto accident in Florida in 2007 that left a 22-year-old John Graziano with eye and brain injuries. If you guys, I believe this was around the, this was shortly after Hogan Knows Best. So his son Nick was kind of in the public eye a little bit, kind of popular a little bit. This was like some TMZ shit here. Not. Not good things happening in the Hulk Hogan household, but the next one, Jesse, this one is bad.
This one is bad. Okay, so 3 years and 3 days ago today.
I don't know why 3 days, but I think it's one
that everyone likes to hear about. Okay, so Buck Zumoff.
Who
ran shows for the longest time, AWA legend. He was my mom's favorite pro wrestler.
Oh,
did
gosh.
I tell you that?
That's not good.
Yeah, it was not good. He was sentenced to a total of 310 months, so that's 25 years and 10 months in prison on two charges of first degree and second charges of third degree criminal sexual conduct and escape from custody. Zumoff, a three-time AWA light heavyweight champion. We actually watched one of his matches not too long ago. He took on Tiger Mask number 2, which was Misawa, and he said he made that jab.
Oh.
All right, cool. So anyhow,
he basically went to prison because he was doing some bad things.
He just
did bad things.
Missed.
We're not going to talk about it.
Minor, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
so
it's not good. Rock
and roll wrestling. If you ever saw Buck Zumoff towards the end of his career, you were not surprised by that.
I will give AC Riley this. He has a pretty funny remembering of a phone call that between him and Buck Zumoff about working for Rock and Roll Wrestling. So if you ever want to hear a funny Buck Zumoff story, if you never had the chance to meet him while he was around the Midwest, talk to AC Riley.
Right,
that'll give you a reason to actually talk to him for once.
All right, cool. So birthdays today. Kevin Kelly.
Remember him,
Hermie?
Yeah, now he works for what? Ring of Honor, New Japan?
No, he's working for New Japan as their play-by-play commentator. So today is his birthday. Happy birthday, Kevin Kelly. You're 50 years old.
And
it would have been also the 60th birthday of Mike Shaw. Mike Shaw, you
better
know
as
Bastion Booger.
Yep, that's right. So lots of things obviously happening at Cage Side Seats. Again, you can go there at cagesideseats.com for more information on this day in wrestling history. Again, just a lot of fun to look back at the things that have happened, landmarks, and then just other events that have happened, like looking up WCW Slamboree. It feels like that happened yesterday.
So it's always kind of weird to see old cards and see where guys were on those cards.
Right.
Like, oh my God, that was like 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Or like, oh my God, that was like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But like just the benchmarks of how like the business has evolved over the course of time. So Cage Side Seats always does a really good service there. Make sure you give them a like and follow them on the Facebooks.
Definitely. Jesse, closing comments.
Closing comments.
Gotcha.
One of the things that I thought was really interesting, they released the Best of Super Juniors tournament blocks last week.
Okay.
Block A is a who's who. Ricochet, Will Ospreay is in this one. Takahashi, Dragon Lee, Taka Michinoku, like Jushin Thunder Liger. This is the block that everyone's talking about, and it's going to be a really good tournament. It starts, I believe, May 17th. It runs about like 2 weeks, round robin style, so everyone in that block will face each other at least once.
Hmm.
And then the winner of Block A will take on the winner of Block B. They'll become the best of the Super Juniors at that point in time, and have a eventual title match down the road as well. New Japan's got some big shows coming up. June the 11th is their Dominion show, which is shaping up to be basically what SummerSlam is to WrestleMania. So we're going to get the WrestleMania, the Wrestle Kingdom rematches here. We're going to get Omega taking on Okada.
Right.
And we're going to have Naito and Tanahashi again.
Right.
So, I mean, this is a card you definitely don't want to miss. You're also going to see a big matchup of Cody Rhodes. He takes on Mike Elgin.
Nice.
So
that'd
I think it kind of really kind of pushing Cody to that spot where you could start seeing him maybe chasing a title by August.
Yeah, definitely. Kid's obviously kid. Like, what am I?
Yeah.
Definitely deserved it, though, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
All the work that he's been doing ever since he left WWE.
And Nick, what about you, man? Like, what you got about? What's your little hot take about wrestling this week?
A hot take on wrestling?
Hot take.
I got nothing. I'm pulling an AC. You caught me off guard. I got nothing.
Sorry, man.
Yeah. It just wasn't, I don't know.
I got
a bunch of stuff I'm setting up for work next week, and it's been super busy. So, I've been trying to stay up to date with all the wrestling info that I could. But, last week I was totally focused on Cinco de Ducho, and then, this week I'm just focused on stuff for next week at work. So, haven't had a ton of time to kind of sit down and think about wrestling. But
hey, man, that's the way it should be.
Should it be? Save wrestling for the weekends?
I would say, don't
weekends,
let wrestling be
awful
your,
the wrestlers.
If wrestling is your life, nothing wrong with that. But wrestling shouldn't dictate everything in your life.
Oof. Now that's a hot take.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a hot take or not. That's probably going to be one of those inspirational Facebook, pictures one day, how they always have, Confucius said this or something like that.
I was at work today, and somebody, I kind of accidentally, sprung up on somebody, a volunteer, and
popped up.
Well,
like,
I kind of walked by, and I think I scared him a little bit, and
yeah.
She's like, oh! She's like, I wasn't looking there, so you surprised me. And I, instantly in my head, I was just like, sometimes, I didn't say this, but I wish I did.
No. Oh.
Sometimes when you're not looking for something, it's when you find what you were looking for. Am I wrong? Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Put that text on a sunset background.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. Instantly. Facebook shared 1,000 times.
You know what we should do?
What?
We should do wrestling inspirational quotes.
Like what?
Well, think about it. Let's just get a bunch of fucking stock images from the internet, right? From Shutterstock or some bullshit.
Sometimes the most worn boots are the boots that smell of success.
No, and then what we do is we put famous wrestling lines in.
Oh, famous wrestling lines?
Yeah.
Like what? What's one? If you smell the rockets cooking?
No.
No? That's not one?
No.
What is one?
You know what I'm thinking about right now?
I don't. Oh, yeah, now I know. And you can't say it on air.
I can't.
Yeah, you can't.
No.
All right, well, that does it for this week on Grapple Talk. We are going to be done. We kind of previewed this earlier this week, and I forgot to touch on it.
Mm-hmm.
We were hoping to talk to Josh Callisto and Red Lightning about their upcoming Showtime Wrestling show, but unfortunately our schedules were conflicting, so we'll be doing that next week. So stay tuned for the preview of the Big Eau Claire show. Their benefits will be or their proceeds will be benefiting, I believe, the Special Olympics. So a lot of fun going to be happening for is it Showtime Championship Wrestling?
I believe so. Yeah.
So should be a lot of fun. Lots of guys are going to be there. They've been doing a crazy ton of publicity for it. So keep an eye out for that, as we'll be talking with two of the guys that had helped set it up next week right here on Grandpa.
All right, cool. And one of the guys I want to get on the show one of these days, there's a new program. It's a rideshare program for rookies and people with not that much experience.
Neat.
In the wrestling community, where they can actually hook up with promotions outside their states and road trip to these promotions. So hopefully we can find some more information about this and maybe like talk to the guy who's actually orchestrating all this.
That sounds like a lot of fun. But until then, we are going to head out. I'm going to go catch Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Awesome.
Really excited about it. Heard some good things. And I think we might actually get dinner at the Hungry Peddler as well. But I guess that's depends on what time it is.
Well, you guys save the money on the movie ticket. You can probably splurge a little bit and go to the Hungry Peddler.
Oh, you're not wrong. You are not wrong. So I'm going to go do that. You have fun with your PB&J sandwich and being alone tonight.
Yeah. That's life of a wrestling fan. Eating PB&J all alone.
Yep.
While your best friend takes his girl out
right,
to a date to a movie you want to see. That's the lonely life of a wrestling fan.
Thank you for tuning in to Grapple Talk.
GrappleTalk.com/the Facebook. That didn't make sense.
They know where to find us on Facebook.
I think you just had a stroke.
With Nick Ragnar, A.C. Riley, and Jesse Von Ruden.
I would say the traditional one.
something like that. I don't know.
What was that?
I don't know.
Beatboxing by A.C. Riley, not available in stores for good reason.
Man, we just got some stuff for the blooper reel, that's all I'm saying.
Our entire podcast is the blooper reel.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out.